Thank you, Lord. I love you. All right. We're together here and there. People in the cloud, cloud of witnesses. Awesome. Isn't that great? We have a cloud of witnesses here. All right. We have to know that life is a battle, right? Every day something new comes up. Every day something comes to before us and we have to decide its significance. Does it deserve our attention, or you know, does it need a to be dismissed? We have to know the difference, and the Lord has given us wisdom so that we can discern the significance of things that come before us. And so often our battle is in the mind. The Apostle Paul was very transparent as he described his daily battle that was in his mind against the Spirit. And he called this situation where his mind was against the Spirit, enmity. And so we're looking at Romans, the 8th chapter, where we see this occurring and that he's admitting to. And it's something that I believe that we need to confront in our own lives. We need to be aware that these kinds of things are going to come to us, and we're going to have to make decisions. We're going to have to decide. We're going to have to understand why we're going in a direction we're going in, rather than just being pushed along by circumstances. And so in Romans 8, Paul says, "For they that are after the flesh do mind the things of the flesh, but they that are after the Spirit, the things of the Spirit. For to be carnally minded is death, but to be spiritually minded is life and peace." Verse 7, "Because the carnal mind is enmity against God, for it is not subject to the law of God, neither indeed can be. So then they that are in the flesh cannot please God. But ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit, if so be that the Spirit of God dwelleth in you. Now if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of this." So this is a loaded passage for us today. It speaks of so many different things that have to be functioning and going on in our lives. So we're really looking at this concept of what this enmity is all about. And if the Apostle Paul struggled with it, then we have to know it's going to be there for us as well. It is something that we're going to have to deal with as we move forward in our relationship with the Father. Because God is going to be directing us. He is blessing us with assignments that we are going to have to discern how they are to be applied. And if we have that enmity going on, there's going to be that struggle, that of what, how that application is going to look and what it requires of us. And of course, the flesh is the foundation for enmity. It's the structure that holds enmity. So this enmity comes to us as a hostility. It speaks of an opposition that roots back to the word hate. And in the English, hate speaks of an intense or passionate dislike for someone. When I was growing up, hate was a four-letter word for us. We weren't allowed to hate anybody. And so, you know, when us little kids would say, you know, out of our anger or frustration, "I hate you," we would get the eye, "Don't you dare say that," because they understood the full significance of what hate was all about. But as we look in the Old Testament, the word hate speaks of separating or excluding someone. In the New Testament, the word hate speaks of detesting something so much as to devise ways to bring persecution against it. And so this enmity that is there, that is going to come from our mind, which governs our flesh, you don't do anything without your mind prompting you. If you think about whatever you're going to do, and if you do something often enough, it becomes muscle memory, but it has to be triggered by your mind. And so our battleground is going to be in our mind many times, and we are going to find that the things of our mind that go on, that prompt our flesh to act, are going to actually be working against what God wants done. This is the natural mind. This is what the enemy likes to control. And so our mind is basically that element that comes against our spirit, that comes against what God has commissioned us to be and to do and has given us so that it can be a partner with the Holy Spirit. So the word for mind is the word dianosia. I don't know what that is really. But it's that Greek word, and it speaks of deep thoughts. It speaks of what comes from the center of who you are. It speaks of that a foundation of your personality. It speaks of the foundation of your understanding. And it is a faculty of your disposition, of how you move forward in the place where you are. So it is the same way we process our environment. It has to do with our imagination and our understanding. How do you imagine you fit into your environment, and what is your understanding of how your environment is supposed to respond to you? So oftentimes, this is where we gain or bitterness tries to enter in, because our environment didn't respond to us like they were supposed to. And that sponsors bitterness. And when there's bitterness, that is really attacking our spirit man. Bitterness causes us to lose sight of our relationship with the Father and our true identity. And so we take on a new identity that is empowering the thing that has caused us to be bitter. The bitterness that has been caused, is what I meant to say. So when Paul is talking about his carnality or the flesh that is his mind being at enmity with God, he is assigning the actual work of his flesh being actually governing the way he processes his environment. And so his mind is actually detesting his born-again spirit, who God made him to be. So Paul is saying that his mind through his flesh is really looking for ways to bring persecution against his spirit. This is what hate is all about. It's about bringing destruction or bringing a hindrance to something that doesn't fit our expectation. This becomes our sense of justice, our sense of rightness. And as we were speaking this morning about the fifth month of the fast of feasting, it is not following through with our sense of justice, but it is knowing what God intended and speaking that. No matter what happens in our expectations or against our expectations, we speak the purpose of the Father. And this is what is going on in each of us. There's none of us exempt from this. This is where we are. This is where God has caused us to be strengthened so that we don't succumb to this. This has become a serious point of warfare, and we've seen it take out many a ministry where the expectations are not being met of what they think ought to be happening. And so there is bitterness, there is frustration, there is a deserting of their post. There's no guarding over what God has given, but there is a continual lust for something that will fulfill their own pleasure. So life is going to be full of difficult decisions. There's going to be lots of opportunities for advancement, or there's going to be many places where unexpected circumstances alter our best laid plans. That goes along with that saying, you know, the best laid plans of mice and men often go awry. And we have to understand that this can be a point of victory, or it can be a point of defeat. So our minds begin to evaluate the pros and cons. We begin to look at what would be good or what would be evil or bad, and we start to weigh the differences, and we look at what this would offer, and we look at what that would offer, or what this would take away, or what this would not take away. And this undermines our spirit. This undermines what God really wants to do through us. Because when we are trying to plan, when we are trying to decide what's the best place through our minds, through our understanding, our own understanding, and not seeking the Lord, our spirit is cut out of the decision making. And the spirit is where God is going to communicate with us and show us where He has called us to be and what He has called us to do. So we need to daily prepare ourselves to walk in this place of the Spirit, the place that God has given us to be victorious in, which calls for our dying to self. And we know so well this teaching about how we have to lay down those expectations. We have to lay down the things that we have attached a value to that have brought us success. And we have to say, Lord, no matter what it is that I have now, I lay it before You so that there can be what You want done and not what I want done. So we want the influence of our spirit to override the desires of our mind, because our mind is easily influenced by the outside atmospheres. But before our mind is ready to yield, there has to be something happening as we lay the desires of the flesh to rest. And exactly that. There has to be a burial. There has to be a setting away. There has to be a putting aside and covering over. You know, we go through a lot of things, and we set things aside, and if we don't bury them, they're always there. You got to know that they're always there. And the enemy is always trying to get us to look over there and see these things that we have said, okay, that was a sin against me, but you know, I'm not going to work on that anymore. I'm not going to let that interfere in my life. And then there's that point where all of a sudden Satan goes, yeah, but look over here. And if we buried that thing, there's nothing to see. And the enemy has nothing to draw our attention away. So before our mind is ready to yield, there has to be the things of the flesh set aside and buried. And this is a directive that Paul gave to the church at Rome, and it speaks to what transpires when entering into a covenant relationship with the Father through Christ. And it speaks of this burial, this concept of putting things out of sight, putting things where they cannot be reached, as we read in Romans 6, 4 through 6. Therefore, ye are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of His death, we shall be also in the likeness of His resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with Him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin. So here is this great significance of being buried, focused on. The word buried here speaks of entering into a company with, or to assimilate, to understand, or to be conformed in some way. So being buried is to be put in that place of transformation that Jesus experienced as he was buried for 3 days. So the old man speaks of our best efforts to rationalize what's going on in our lives and trying our own strength to manage things around us. It can also be those things which have been successful in our past, those things that God has given us to do, but now he's got a new thing for us. And so there needs to be that time of separation, that covering over, that burying, so that there can be a transformation. So those things that used to spur us on are now transformed into those things that bring life, a new life. So this old man speaks of those things that we used to do that will wear us out, that will cause us to lose our momentum, that will cause us to not pursue the greater things. And so as we go forward and we continue on trying to recreate some things that used to be, it will wear us out because it will never come like it used to be. And so we have to look for what the Father has for us for the new thing, to walk in a new lifestyle, a new way. And of course, this new life is our pathway of sonship. And the significance of this concept of burial is it calls for this planting. And in our planting, we grow and become closely knit together with the purpose of the Father in this concept of dying to self. We are in the likeness of Jesus, and in that likeness we grow alongside, and we are given that mind of Christ. Our thinking becomes transformed. Our thinking becomes overshadowed by our spirit and our relationship with the Father. So we rise by the glory of the promise of partnership with the Father. And so our walk now becomes less and less about our natural perceptions of what is around us, and more on what God is entrusting us to do in these natural settings. And we are understanding his heart. We are understanding his purpose for our life. And we are seeing how who we are is transforming where we are. So we are walking wherever we have been sent in a clarity of eternal purpose of our true identity, who we are before the throne of God, who God sees us as, and what comes from this mind of Christ is a point of rejoicing in the things that God is going to put us through. So our burial is the place where we leave the old mindset that continually misses the mark, and we stop the destruction of the plans of God, and we experience the joy of the Lord as we look forward to what God is getting ready to do. And so we leave the old in the ground and we rise to the new. And so it is easy to see this connection of what Paul is saying here with what we need to do daily, to die to self, to let the old things be taken away from us, to be buried, so that our spirit is not hindered. So this business of being buried truly has to do with the process of taking care of those destructive things that are the enmity to our spirit and to the ways of God. It is to be free from those things, to function in the spirit of Jesus, which is our spirit of prophetic understanding. It requires a daily death, a burial, so that we can be resurrected into the glory of the Father. So this truly fits in with our fast of feasting in this month. It includes our declaration that we are free from the old worn-out thinking of self-preservation. And we, by this death and burial, are continually being freed to pursue our ordained purpose with full confidence that God's plan is the best possible path for us to take. So, really, I feel like the Lord is wanting us to make this a daily declaration for our lives. As we come before Him in our time of intercession, we want to be stepping into the continuous transition of our life, our continually rising up to rise higher to a new glory. And again, Paul talks to the Colossians in the third chapter, verses 1 through 3. He says, "If ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. For ye are dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God." We are dead. Our thinking, our mind is dead. It is our spirit that is alive. And in this, our spirit is hid with Christ in God. He has hidden His eternal deposits of the giftings for us, our identity for us, so that we are given this point of commune with Him. And so we are actively called to place our affections on what He is getting ready to do, to trust Him, to think the most important thing in my life is what You have in store for who I am. And I am bearing who I used to be so that I can rise in this position that You have prepared for me. So this is a daily thing that we are able to rise from the old and call for the activation of those things that God has prepared for us to be for this time, for this day, for this purpose. And I am so thankful for that. I am so thankful that God has understood and prepared my place here on earth for who He made me to be. And so I'm here with a mission. I'm here with a purpose. I'm here with a mind that I have overshadowed by my spirit. I'm not letting my mind run me through the gauntlet of what ifs or disappointments or fear or doubt. I am confident by the spirit that God has placed within me that His spirit is guiding me, that His spirit is moving through me and will lead me to the place of His glory, the place where He is going to be successful. And this, you know, as we get reports from those who have pioneered the places in South America, to know that they have not gone down with an agenda, but they have been sent by, I mean, it was never a plan, okay, this is where we're going to go. It was just God opened the door. God said, now's the time to go. And so We have gone into these countries and we have been just giving what they need. And so we are relying on God to supply and to bring the message that needs to be shared at that point, so that those people there can, as it was spoken of this morning, pick up the understanding of that message and make it their own, so that they are the ones carrying it forth. So there is that passing of the torch, so that they carry the light as it was shared with them. And so we truly are placing our affections, those passions for what life offers, in the hands of the Father. We're accepting what God offers us and saying, that's where I want to place my passion. That's where I want to focus my life. This is what's going to be most important to me. And every morning, we want to be those who are saying, yes, Lord, here I am, send me. And so in this, we rise from the old and we walk in the new. We walk in what God has prepared for us because we have buried the old. And Paul again speaks of this further on down in Romans 6, verses 6 through 7. Says, knowing this, talking about that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is freed from sin. Now, we know that sin has to do with missing the mark. And so the body, the construction that has been formed that misses the mark has been destroyed. We are no longer bound by that. That is not our destiny. And henceforth, we should not serve that mark that is not where God has called us to do or to be. And so when we die to self, when we crucify the old man, when we let the things that were wearing us out go, and we stop making a place for that in our life, and we let it be buried so that the enemy cannot point our face back to it and say, look, when we do this, it's taken away. And so we have no more, the enemy has no more right, he has no more power to redirect our focus. And so this process is what allows us to walk in the power of God's glory. And as we walk in his glory, we move to more of his glory. And our focus then becomes totally on the things that are eternal. And the things that are dead or have been totally covered. And there's no more draw to them. There's no more vision of their possibilities. And we have completely forsaken looking into that direction. This is what dying to self is about. This is what Paul is calling for us as saints. And this is what is so necessary for us to be ready to move forward. To not be comfortable in what we have done thus far, but to be comfortable in the joy that is set before us. As Jesus went to the cross, he continued for the joy that was set before him. He understood that it was his purpose to be there at that time to endure those things. And we are seeing our purpose for right now to be here, to do these things, to move forward in something that maybe we haven't done before. Or maybe that we aren't as confident or as comfortable in doing as we are in the things we have now. And so we say, whatever comfort I have, I'm letting that be buried. I'm letting that be done away with. Being the word crucified actually means to be impaled. And so that impaling of something that used to be takes it out of its influence on us. It actually stakes it out as something that can't be moved anymore. It's done. And so the old ways have been impaled. They have been set aside, and they're no longer influencing our walk. It's no longer influencing our expectations. It's no longer influencing what we fear. And we are looking ahead to what God has prepared for us and the glory that surrounds that. And so the spirit then overcomes the mind. It overcomes the flesh. And we are able to run the race that's before us without any burdens. That's another reference that Paul makes. I run the race. I set aside the burdens that I might hit the goal, that I might finish the race and get the trophy. And that's hitting the mark. And so this daily discipline for us of dying to self, of bearing the old, and to receive what God has prepared for us in this new day, in the new mercies that come to us that are there every morning. This is what we have to have. This is what prepares us to move forward. This is what keeps the old from overcoming, from overshadowing, from undermining what God wants to do in our lives. And we haven't seen the half of what God wants to do in our lives. And so we want to know, we want to be ready, because God is continually bringing us forward. And so I think this is a call for each of us to make a point of daily coming before the Lord with this understanding. And in this fifth month, we declare that we are winning the battle. The mind is not undermining what God has given us to do, that our flesh is not running us around, and so that we are able to see how we are to bless, how we are to speak life, how we are to declare the glory of the Father, and how that is going to change how God is going to be able to move through and with us. Amen. So I thank you, Father, for this admonition to receive what you have prepared for us and to bury those things that are in our past. We receive the new. We need to get rid of the old, and we want to do that, Father. We see your glory that you prepared, and we want to move in that, and we thank you. That is for us. So I just speak this blessing over this house. I speak this blessing over the other saints of this world. Father, that there would be a transformation, that there would be a renewing of our spirit that would influence our mind and renew our minds, so that our minds would be in cooperation and harmony with what you have called us to be and called us to do. And so, Father, I just speak this healing of our spirit that has been undermined in any way. Those things that have come to us through our flesh, I just speak a healing, and I speak a rejuvenation of our spirit, and I just thank you for this promise. I thank you for this directive to seek you every morning, to know your mercies. And I praise your name. In the name of your son, Jesus, I speak these things and say amen.